Well, you know, so-and-so is going to be there. Yeah, you know, he married my second cousin of my third marriage, of his wife and the other wife, and now he's there in church. I'm not going.
When you get that kind of excuse, kill it.
Yeah, but I saw him in the bar last week. What's he doing in church?
Here, listen carefully. I can't think of a better place for those people to be than in church, can you? Where would you rather them be? Back in a bar?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Do you ever wonder if God still speaks to us today? In Bible times, he used different methods to seize someone's attention. He spoke through dreams, visions, sometimes through more radical means, such as a rooster's crow, a burning bush, even a donkey. Sometimes he spoke in ways that were terrifying, such as when he spoke through storms. One way or another, he has a way of unmistakably getting his message across. Here is Pastor Wayne Cordero with a message entitled, God's Disturbing Delivery System.
You take out your notes as we continue in our series called, Can You Hear Me Now? And today we're going to talk about God's disturbing delivery systems. Now, how many of you would agree that God does speak? Raise your hand. How many of you say, yeah, he speaks, huh? And he uses millions of different ways through which he speaks. God has used thunder. He uses dreams and visions. He used even roosters. He uses earthquakes. He even speaks through my children. Ouch. A boss. Oh, he even speaks through my wife. And other disturbing delivery systems. Let's read Job chapter 33 together. Go. God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams. In visions, he whispers in their ears and terrifies them with his warnings. Yeah, sometimes he speaks whispers, sometimes he speaks warnings. God does speak. Now, you say, can there ever be a time where someone sounds like God and we follow a voice we think is God only till it throws us over a ledge? Are there kind of God ventriloquists in the church that sound like God? Yeah, there are people that say, in the name of God, and they'll say, God said, and they'll take authority that they have no right to take to add credibility to their cause and to their movement. They'll say, God said, and we'll have to discern that. Does that happen today? Absolutely. It happened in Jeremiah's time as well. Let's read what God says to Jeremiah. Go. I have not sent these prophets, yet they claim to speak for me. I have given them no message, yet they prophesy. He said, you're kidding. How can we safeguard ourselves from these voices that we think are God? Let me give you two things that you'll want to remember today. And that are these two phrases. You can write this down on the edge of your bulletin, on your notes. It's not formally put there, but write these two things down on your edge, your margin, your neighbor's forearm, forehead, doesn't matter, but get these down. Here it is, two things, know him and know truth. Know him, know truth. And I'm going to explain these, but just keep those at the forefront of your mind because it's so important. Remember that, know him and know truth. Well, see, how do you do that? How do you get to really know God? One of the most basic, most important ways is this. God speaks primarily, as we learned last week, would you write in number one, through the Bible. God speaks through the Bible. Let's read what 2 Timothy says. Go. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. Reason we read the Bible is to get to know God. Not to get more doctrines to endorse my cause. Not to get more ammunition against your cause. It is to get to know God. In fact, there was a time where some religious leaders, they came to Jesus and said, we got the scriptures down because we know that it's going to endorse our life. And Jesus said something really interesting. He said, you think that the scriptures contain stuff for your life? Nice, it does. But it is these that speak of me. See, the main reason for reading the Bible is to get to know God firsthand. That you look at this and say, oh, that's how you think. That's how you speak. That's what you do. Oh, and more you say, oh, now I'm getting to know him as he really is. You see, it's important for us to know God. You know why it's so very important to know God? Because you will, by knowing him, you will be able to discern counterfeit voices that are not him. For example, long ago, before they would have these detection machines that would detect counterfeit bills, like $20 bills. Today they've got these little pens, they've got certain fabric and certain hues and inks that will help you define it as a true $20 bill. In the days when they had no detection machines, this is how they would teach merchants and cashiers and checkers to see counterfeits. They would not teach them what a counterfeit looked like because it would come in many different ways and off of different presses. What they would do is they'd put you in a room with only the real stuff, the real genuine article. And you could taste it, you could fold it, you could smell it. You were to evaluate and inspect every centimeter of those bills backward and forward, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. It'll come across on a conveyor belt. You can wrinkle it, see how it feels, how it responds. And then on the fourth day, the instructors would say, now we're going to throw a few counterfeits in there. They'd push back. Wait a minute, you haven't taught us what counterfeits look like. You don't need to know. You just need to know the real thing. And sure enough, as they would float a few counterfeits here and there, they'd be having these bills go in front of them, and they'd grab this and say, you know, I don't know what's wrong with this one or this one. This one here, I don't know what's wrong, but it doesn't look right. And this one here doesn't look right. And for some reason, they were able to pick out every counterfeit. Now, were they able to tell you exactly why it was wrong? No, they just say, you know, just for some reason, these things are not the true thing. It's not the genuine article. And here's how we say it. I got a check about this. There's a check in my spirit. There's going to be times after you come to know him as he really is, you'll hear a voice, you'll hear this directive, and you'll say, and that sounds nice, but I get a check about it. It's just a check in my spirit. And you see, the more you get to know him, the true shepherd, the more you will recognize the voices of those who are not. And not by studying them, by knowing him. Now, why is it so important to know him? Not only to recognize wrong voices, but to recognize his voice even when he doesn't speak. You said, what? Yeah, I say it this way. If you really know him, his heart for people, his heart for the indigent or the poor, if you know his heart for all of these people, the Lord could back up to your house a huge container of cheese, just packed with cheese, every kind of cheese imaginable in the world. There's Swiss cheese, American cheese, cheddar cheese, Portuguese cheese, all kinds of cheese packed. Do you think if he didn't leave any instructions at all, just this massive container of cheese, if he didn't give you any instruction, do you think what he's saying is just eat cheese, bathe with cheese, soap with cheese, put cheese in your drawers, in your cabinet, under your bed, in your pillowcases, smell cheese, sleep on cheese, cheese? No. If he backs this huge container of cheese to your house, what do you think he's saying? Sure, there's enough for you, but what do you think he's saying to do with the rest of it? Share it. That's right. You see, if you know his heart, listen carefully, if you know the heart of God, even if he backs up a container when he doesn't even speak, I know what he's saying. I know exactly what he's saying. Why? Because he left you detailed instructions, handwriting on the wall? Mm-mm. Well, how do you know what he's saying? I know him. You see why it's so important for us to know him through the scriptures. And why through the scriptures primarily? If you don't read the scriptures, you're going to come to know God, but you're going to come to know a second-hand God. A what? A second-hand God. You'll start to put together a picture of what God looks like and how he sounds and how he acts from somebody else's testimony, from that conference speaker, from that cool book, from this person, and that person, and you will amass, you will then conclude what God looks like in your mind, but it's a second-hand God from everybody else's experiences and not yours. Why do you think the Bible is so incredibly important for you to read? Is because it gives you a first-hand, accurate picture of who God is. I was counseling the other week with a guy, and he said, Wayne, God never speaks to me. Never speaks to me. I said, do you read the Bible every day? He said, well, no, on Sundays I'll bring it to church maybe. I said, then you won't know God. You got to know God. If you know God, then when he speaks, you'll understand, you'll recognize his voice. But if you are not reading the Bible, you don't know him. And if you don't know him, you're not going to hear him. And what you hear may be a counterfeit and you won't know the difference. I want you, here's your prescription. I said, read the Bible every day. And I handed him one of our Bible bookmarkers. Because then you'll get to know him. And when he speaks, even if he doesn't speak, you'll know exactly what he's saying to you. Because it comes by knowing him. And also not just by you reading the Bible, but would you write in your the bullet there? Through accurate Bible teaching. Through accurate Bible teaching. It was in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32 when Paul was leaving Jerusalem. And he, for the last time, was going to see some of these elders. And he was going to head out to Macedonia, to Troas and other places. And he commends them or ushers them to the most important thing of all, and that's the message of his word. Let's read it together. Go. And now I entrust you to God and the word of his grace, his message that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. See, that's the most important part. His message that goes out will help to build you up. God speaks through accurate Bible teaching. Now, isn't this true? Haven't there been times you're sitting in church and the message is coming, you're thinking, oh man, this is just for me. And you look around and you think, I don't know why all these people are here because this is just for me. Isn't that right? And you go out and you say, wow, man, God really spoke to me. And someone says, no, 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 he spoke to me. How many of you say, God's really spoken to me through messages? Yeah, he does that. Because God uses accurate Bible teaching through which he will speak to his people. Now, that's why it's important for you to find a church that you would call your home church. Don't be jumping around from church to church, following after celebrities or the new latest doctrine or what's the coolest. You find a home church and be there because God is going to speak his message to you that will build you up and help you to receive all the inheritance that he has for you. Don't just play hooky again and again. Be there. That's an assignment for you where he's going to commission to speak, to give words that will redeem, deliver, and save your future from stuff that you're about to hit and you have no idea you're going to hit. He's going to impart to you wisdom so that when you do hit it, you'll do well in the tests. And so make sure that you're there. It's not just an option. It is a mandate. It is mandatory in growing with the Lord. You say, well, how do you find a home church? Let me give you two quick ways that'll help you. Very easy, not formally in your notes, but you can write it again on your neighbor's forearm. And this is what it is. The first is find a church where God speaks to you through that pastor. You got to hear God through that pastor. If you're not hearing him here, get out of here. Find a place where you can hear God through a pastor. So that you can grow thereby. So make sure that you're hearing God, the word of God coming to you through that person. And the second is there fruit of that teaching? Look around the programs of the church, the people of the church. Is there any fruit that's being born because of the teaching going forth? If there's no fruit, man, get out of there. It's barren. Something's funny. Because the Bible constantly speaks about you shall know them by their fruit. John 15:8, by this is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. John 15:16, you have not chosen me. I've chosen you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Constantly speaking about one of the symptoms of accurate Bible teaching will be fruitfulness in that orchard. So those two things, can you hear God through that pastor and is there fruit? If that is true on both counts, you're probably pretty assured that this is your home church. Now, if this is your home church, make sure that you're there consistently. Why? Now, I need you to hear this. It's a very important point. Listen carefully. The devil cannot read your mind. Now, God can. It says he knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. God knows the very innermost thoughts of our hearts. But the devil has not been given that ability. But the devil has charted the course of your life and he knows where you will buckle your knees, what it'll take to cause you to compromise your values, your price that he would pay to cause you to get rid of your morality, to sell out. He knows your weak points. He knows your strong points. And he's like an enemy attack submarine captain that's watching a submarine make its route. He plots its coordinates. It goes this deep here, it goes that deep there, takes this route here, takes that route there. And he's plotting it. And he's watching the routine of this other sub that he wants to attack, because he knows that at this point, you're most vulnerable. And that's where we're going to attack. You know what he calls it? An opportune moment. And the devil is waiting for an opportune moment in your life, brother, your life, sister, in your marriage, in your child rearing, in your being tempted, in your sexuality. He knows. Now watch this. He cannot read your mind, but he can read my notes. He knows what I'm going to say. And he knows, as he reads my notes or my computer screen, he knows that what I'm about to say is something that will strengthen you, warn you about this moment. And if you abide by, comply with what God is about to say to you in that Sunday service, you can actually somehow avert what would have been the devil's attack. And by your saying, oh God, I gotta get out of that relationship, or I'll do this, or I'll change that, and you do it, you will cause him to fail in his attempt to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so when he sees, oh no, that's exactly what she needs to hear. Oh no, that's exactly what he needs to hear. And if they comply, I fail. So you know what? There's going to be Sunday mornings where you're going to get up and you'll get up out of the bed and there'll be 100 reasons why you shouldn't go to church. Oh, my back's sore today. Oh, look outside. Oh, kind of gray. Oh, I'll go to sleep. What's on TV? Oh, my favorite program. And you'll have just a manifold amount of excuses as to why you shouldn't go. Now, I have learned over the years, when there is just all of a sudden this weird, all kinds of impediments and all kinds of reasons as to not go to church, you know what I do? I've learned, redouble your efforts and get there. Doesn't matter if you have to take a bus or a skateboard, get there. Get there, because the enemy knows there's certain things that are about to be said that'll bring redemption to your life. It'll avert the devil's temptations and will cause your future inheritance to be delivered to you. And he can't stand that. So if he can keep you from hearing that, you won't comply with it. And you'll find 100 excuses as to why you don't need to go to church that day. When you sense that, that is a spiritual principle. Redouble your efforts and get there, because God's about to speak to you something that's very important, because he speaks through messages that are accurate. And if that's your home church, that's where he's going to deliver it. So you redouble your efforts and get there, because he's got something for you. Otherwise, you'll have all of these kinds of false readings and all kinds of reasons. Like the story where his mother gets her son up, says, get up, we're going to church. I don't want to go to church. Why? Oh, I don't want to go to that church. They don't love me. They don't care about me. They never listen to anything. Yes, she said, first of all, they do love you. They do care for you, and they do listen. And above all, you're their pastor. Get up. But you'll have all these kinds of reasons. And then you'll have false readings, false kinds of things. I don't know. It's too crowded. I can't get parking there. Someone might bump my car. Oh, there's too many people. I don't want to go there. Too many people. Hey, I don't want to go there. I tell you, when you've got those things, double your efforts. Oh, I don't know. Too many services. Not enough services. Story is told of this little boy. He goes to church and he reads in the bulletin, and it has all these military names of those that had died in the service. And his eyes got real big, and he showed his mom, said, Mom, look. She said, yes, all these military men that died in the service. He said, Mom, first service or second service? We haven't lost anybody yet. You'll have false readings. You'll have false readings. You'll say, well, you know, so-and-so is going to be there. Oh, so what? Yeah, you know, he married my second cousin of my third marriage, of his wife and the other wife, and now he's there in church. Same service. I'm not going. You know, by the way, when you get that kind of excuse, kill it. Yeah, but I saw him in the bar last week. What's he doing in church? Here, listen carefully. I can't think of a better place for those people to be than in church. Can you? Where would you rather them be? Back in a bar? Or someone who messed up on a marriage to be in a barren place on a mountain, destroying his life another time? Thank God, I can't think of a better place for those people to be than in church trying to hear the word of God. What do you think? Yeah, it's not the most comfortable thing. I mean, we can have all these conclusions like they're a hypocrite, they're not really listening. You leave that to God and them. That's not your kuleana, that's theirs. Just thank God they're in church. And let that be. Now listen, if you're coming from divorce backgrounds or problem backgrounds or messed up backgrounds or all kinds of habits in your background, listen, we are not ashamed of you. We are glad that you're here because this is where you should be. There's no better place in the world for you to be than in a place like this. I mean, think about it. Elwin's here. And so you... Every single one of us, we're okay. God is not ashamed. And even though I joke about, you know, Elwin, different ones, do you take a look at how God's redeemed his life? I mean, he is doing so well today because he chose to be where God's word is being spoken, and it transformed his life. And he is doing such great things in the kingdom today. Someone like Roy Yamamoto, oh, he's a prisoner. I don't think I want him in the church. He's a prisoner. No. If people thought about him this way in this church, you wouldn't have a great prison chaplain as we have. Do you know Roy is being used by God everywhere? He was at this last conference. He opened up the legislature last year with prayer. I mean, he's speaking to different Rotary clubs, and he is giving his testimony of God's greatness all over these islands. Are we glad that there's a church that welcomes these people? Man. So don't let false findings or false excuses push you away and false fears. Make sure if you think there's a whole bunch of excuses and reasons why not to go, if this is your home church, redouble your efforts and get there because God's about to speak to you something that just might avert an opportune moment where you'd get nailed. God loves you that much. So be faithful. Well, one is to know him. And when you know him, he can back up a container to your house and not say a thing, and I know exactly what he's saying. But the second is to know truth, because God is going to bring truth to you through different packaging. Sometimes the packaging is not very comfortable. It's not really sugar-coated. It's going to be pretty disturbing and presented poorly sometimes. But in the midst of it, if you can know truth and get rid of the rest of the stuff, but if you can extract that which is precious from that which is worthless, then you'll be able to learn from every avenue that God brings to you.
Just heard a message entitled God's Disturbing Delivery System by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Now, you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime, on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, Spreaker.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with the click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. For those of you who listen to Words of New Hope regularly, we encourage you to consider becoming part of our support family. One way you can do so is by visiting our website and ordering products from the resources department. Go to www.enewhope.org and click on the resources tab. That's enewhope.org.
Yeah.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.